tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good, Ellie. Welcome back to the second hour of Tip Today. Now, Trudy Waters is producing. She's by the phones to take your calls and comments on our free phone number. That's 1800-938-007. You can text on 083-311-3311. And we have that great competition up and running for you today. We have a €50 voucher for Pamela Scott's brand new store in Nina. It's based on your interaction with us by text, joining in the conversations, coming up with something brand new, getting something off your chest, whatever. Do get texting right now, but give us a full name and an address so that we can enter you properly into our competition. By the way, all the daily winners will go into a hat and the prize will be upgraded to €250 on this coming Friday. So well worth getting involved indeed. Now, let us go to Philip, one of our listeners. Philip, good morning to you.
Morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. You have a couple of thoughts on the election. You think the election should go ahead, basically, Philip, do you?
Well, I think, Fran, with too many things going on all the time, you know, nothing being solved. You had banks, you had fertilizer scandals, you have everything. I think the government at the moment is basically a stick and plaster government. You know, they're solving nothing. All they do is a bit of spin here now and again, and away you go. A load of tribunals, Fran. Waste of time. Just a waste of taxpayers' money.
So I'm presuming you think that this confidence and supply agreement with Fianna Fáil just hasn't worked.
Not at all. Both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, they're running head to head in the polls. They don't want an election, be quite honest with you, I think, myself, because basically there's no one will get in. It'll be the same again. They'd have to join in with someone else, you know.
And a lot of people think that you could easily have the same makeup as you have now after all of the hassle and stuff. But do you take the point that they're making, that with the Brexit negotiations at such a delicate and fragile state at the moment, that if we were to go to a general election and have all the focus on that, that we could damage ourselves in Europe?
Not at all, Fran. Brexit, we've had long enough into that. There'd be plenty of time for to solve these things. I also heard the other night on that thing, Arlen Foster say that the six counties belong to the British, which made me laugh too, you know.
Mm.
But Brexit is only another excuse when it comes to things for you know.
Of course, in fairness to Arlene Foster, I mean, what she says is true, certainly at the moment. Now, what will happen in generations to come, I don't know, but it certainly is British territory, isn't it?
I thought Ireland was 32 counties, Fran. Do you know what I mean? I always, myself, said Ireland is 32 counties.
Right, but do you know what I mean? That's how you read it, Philip. But as I said, there's people up there that might disagree with you very violently about that.
You understand the Irish people don't read it my way, yeah.
So listen, you wouldn't have a problem with politicians knocking you on your door then coming up to Christmas,
well,
would you?
Well, I would. I'd love to tell them a few things.
Would you?
Even the councillors in Cashel, they must be calling it the hibernation. They're like the squirrels. You don't hear nothing. There was a time there they were giving out about a bag of rubbish on the Golden Road. They said nothing about this, which is amazing.
They're very quiet about it indeed.
They don't want to be bothered about it. You'd be afraid, you know, that they might move them a little, you know.
What do you think about Frances Fitzgerald? What do you think about her role in this?
Well, you see, it's a delicate situation, and with Gareth McCabe's the thing there was very, very, man's character and what have you.
Mm.
It's they say it's in the other tribunal. That will never come out here. Because the problem with the tribunals, man, it's really a lot of the time is they're examining themselves, if you know what I mean. There should be someone brought in complete difference, you know, and they...
But I mean, they've had so many examinations over the time, you know, between
the... You wouldn't get as many examinations in a doctor's surgery, friend.
you wouldn't. You sound very cynical about it all. Have you any political allegiance at all, Philip?
There was times I voted for I'll be honest, I voted for Fianna Fáil, but I'm muted. I'm muted at the moment. It's like, you know, they're really none of them in crisis as you know, they don't. It's all to do with power, friend, and power and money, power of things and spin. When I heard last week there also the homelessness wasn't, you know, like as bad as other countries.
This is what Leo Varadkar said, yeah.
This really. When you hear things like that and you know, such statements, and then that council in Dublin to say that people going out helping people in Dublin were not helping the situation.
Yeah, they were making it worse. Yeah.
And poor creators lying on the street, they're just mad for someone to say hello. It's very simple. It's nature. It's a bit of kindness in your... You know what I mean?
But is there any maker... I'm just thinking, in terms of doing something about all the issues that you mentioned there, is there any particular makeup of a government that might happen post-election that would get things done? Because we seem to be in some sort of a stalemate situation.
We are in a stalemate. What amazes me, the fellas run out of jobs that they can't solve. Simple example is like Simon Coveney. And they tell you what a wonderful man he is and he can run into another good job.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And Noreen, another example there, Noreen O'Sullivan, out Garda Commissioner, and then she can get another world-class job. It's all those things. If you are taken out of a job and you're not able to perform to your ability in something, if you're in a job in a factory, if you're in a job in anything, friend, if you're in your own job, if you weren't good enough at it, you wouldn't be tolerated.
Yeah, if you fail, you'd be thrown out. But it doesn't seem to happen in politics, and as you say, in some aspects of business as well, for some reason or other.
Oh, God, very, very same. You can see it in banking, and you can see it in everything. It's just a joke.
So what is that a case then, Philip, that it's who you know and it's the context you have and it's an old boys' school? And
yeah, top of the class, you see. of the class, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's who you know and not what you know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
As regards, I think you need to have a proper government in that's not, you know, propped up by... Like I was listening to last week there, the Garda Commissioner said step aside Garda Station was not a priority. Do you know what I mean? And then you had, when Alan Kelly was around, you had him and Nina Tabella Brophy. Another joke, like, you know what I mean? You'd cycle up the tracks there just as fast as those.
So what do you think? It's all just sort of parish pump politics, is that it?
That's all parish pump. Another example of it is down in Kerry. You can see yourself, you're looking at it every day in the dog. Do you know what I mean? It's just a joke,
right?
It's a joke, but there's an awful lot of money involved. These people, they get an awful lot of money in pensions, and even when they fail, that's the amazing thing about it. They go away with so much money. It's a joke, you know. And we have hospitals. People falling over themselves on trolleys in hospitals, and people, young kids waiting on operations. Last week there you had a thing where they wouldn't pay for a few million just for some drug there for to keep some child alive or probably you're, and there's lots of things there.
And some people, of course, are very cynical about the notion that the 1.2 million social welfare recipients will start getting their Christmas bonus this week. I wonder, has that anything to do with the possibility of an election, or am I being too cynical on that, do you think, Philip?
Well, I think that's gone through anyway, Frank.
It's just the time. It's certainly quicker than we would have imagined.
Yeah, the other thing about that, there you go again, the fiver they gave a rise in the social welfare. The very minute they gave the self 5,000, but they got it straight away.
Mm.
Whereas the fiver, they're humming and hawing there about it. by the time you get it, it won't be worth €2.
Yeah, well, of course, they'll tell you that their salaries are linked to
Yeah, they're always linked to something, aren't they? They're a bit like carriages and trains years ago. They're linked, all right. They're all linked. Right.
Listen, it's good to talk to you today, Philip. Last word from you. A yay or a nay, do you think that there will be a Christmas election?
The way things are going, friends, it's hard to know, but I think there will.
Do you think so?
I think there has to be something. If Fianna Fáil don't stand up this time, they won't look great at the next election.
All right, Philip, you make your point extremely well as usual. Thank you very much indeed. One of our listeners there, Philip McCormick, speaking to us this morning.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Johnny Luby joins me online now. Johnny, good morning to you.
Friend, how's it going, buddy?
It's going very well, Johnny. Your take on this political crisis, as they're calling it now, what do you think about it?
Friend, I'm delighted that you're looking for a response from the man in the most rural part of Tipperary. I said, friend, they're going to set up another tribunal anyway for Humpty Dumpty to see, mm-hmm, did he fall or was he shoved?
Mm.
But I'd say Fianna Fáil, the others, and Fine Gael, getting the nickels in a knot over an email. Can they sort it? We do not know. But we will do our best on the Friend Curry Show. Now, friend, I was talking to Mr. Lowry last night. I rang him and asked him, are we going to have an election? Because I'm not going to climb any more ESP poles and flag poles at 63 years of age. And he says that he thinks they will sort it out. Now, I said to him, from what I'm told, Francis normally does the grace before and after meals in the Dáil.
Right.
And it will probably be a condition of support from Fianna Fáil that she does not say the grace after meals in future. This, I think, could be done by Willie O'Dea.
Do you think?
Shane Ross, he can't fix the rail strike. He doesn't give a tuppenny hoot about the rural Ireland in my book. And the roads are an absolute scandal in parts. And inside in the middle of the whole lot, he wants to go to North Korea to sort out the missile situation. But he has it in the back of his mind, this is what I'm told, to propose free drinks in the bar of the Dáil for the two big parties and a driver for each one till the end of this government. Now, that could be the clincher.
That could fix everything, you think?
Now, Phil Hogan, the man who departed to Europe in my book after doing untold damage, and he's the one who told us, imagine telling us you can't make an omelette without breaking an egg. That's like telling a mathematician that 2 and 2 is 4. So Christ, we know all that. And he's now trying to have his bag. Imagine somebody in Ireland telling the English what to do.
Yeah.
Now, whatever about France or Germany telling them, but this my book beats all. Alan Kelly, he'd certainly want to calm down a small bit. I think he's too arrogant over all of this. He was in government circles. And is like everything else, he was part of a government that brought in the water situation, and now we're getting checks in the post this week, friend, and I'm certainly looking forward to mine. and in my book, that they lost the plot, that's why. And now I've no political allegiance, friend, whatsoever.
Do you not, though, Johnny? No. Are you sure about that?
Friend, listen to me. I have bigger problems. And I can tell you this, friend. Friday night last, I was above in Kildang and GA Club. There was 4 acts to a play, and I was in the final act. But after each act, they had an auction. Mm. And after the 3rd act, you see, I was to buy a Nichols.
Right.
Because it was Mrs. Brown's by his fellow named DeHaas was wearing this Nichols.
Right.
I was to have it in my pocket, and I bought it for $9.99.
You did well.
I did very well, from what I'm told. Mm. I went out for a smoke and I met a woman and she said, you got a bargain in that. She says, I paid €12 for a nickel. She says, and from what you're after buying there, she says, I got done in mine. And I said, by Jesus, it was quick. I said, when did you get done in them? She said, I only bought them the other day. Well, by Jesus, it was fairly quick. You got done in them. But anyway, friend.
Let me drag you back to politics.
Second, I'll finish this. Between the hopping and trotting, didn't I go home with the nickels in the pocket?
Did you?
Herself was hanging up my coat, finds the nickels in the pocket, and there is no solution. I mean, I can't do like Francis Fitzgerald. I can't resign.
You can't resign, no.
I can't resign. But herself wants to know where this nickels come out of. So I told the local guard, Eddie Nugent, and his exact words were, if we see anybody going around Kildare, and he says, without a nickels, he says, we'll look out for him.
Okay.
So, anyway, To finish up with Kildangan, congratulations to them. A marvellous under 21 victory yesterday in North Tipperary, and they adore you. Actually, they're thinking of putting a statue up to you on the main street.
And rightly so, too. Absolutely rightly so, too. Listen, come here, I tell you, what do you figure? Will we have this Christmas general election?
No,
will they be ringing at our door?
And... No, friend, we can't, because I'll tell you something. Fianna Fáil, in my book, after backing themselves into an alleyway, imagine like they want Francis Fitzgerald to resign, Leo doesn't want to resign. Mm. So you'd wonder, what's the compromise? I mean, there can't be a compromise. If they're either going to go hell-bent on she resigning, which I don't give a tuppenny hoot whether she does or she whether it doesn't make any difference to me.
Mm.
But I think people are fed up of it, because if you have a 27% on a Red Sea poll and a 26%, and all these polls, friend, were done in Dublin, you can have no doubt about it. They never done a poll in Tipperary where we have three independents, one Fianna Fáil, and with no Fine Gael, Christ, I better stop and think, and one Labour.
So yes.
The sea poll should be done in the likes of Tipperary as well. Mm. To see, I mean, 27% would hardly get you 40 seats. So if they're not going to join Sinn Féin, and they're not going to join Fianna Fáil unless they back him again, which they did this time, and Fianna Fáil haven't enough of seats on their own, and they're not going to join Sinn Féin. What in the name of God are we at all?
Well, you're going to have the same makeup, basically, aren't you?
The very same, same makeup.
Yeah.
But imagine Francis Fitzgerald went to her advisors. Does the buck not stop with her? Why would you go to your advisor? I mean, if you're a supervisor on a fire scheme, the buck stops with you.
Well, some people hate us making comparisons with the UK, but certainly if she was a minister in the UK government, she would not be still in place. You know, she would not. She would have had to stand down.
Yeah, well, I know that one of the Kim Yang Young's cousins resigned. Do you know that kind of way? Like, you can't have it every way. I honestly believe that maybe, like, out fair and square, she should go.
Mm.
But, having said that, is it going to be a breakup over a bloody email? I mean, I don't get any emails. All this, look at Ballyragget situation in the GA, that all them emails and photos on mobile phones, they hang people out to dry.
Mm.
I don't know why she didn't read the email. Maybe she doesn't bother her backside reading the email.
Well, she
maybe
said that she may have forgotten. She may have read it, but she had forgotten.
Oh, so listen, wasn't there a fella there 100 years ago there in the Dáil? Was it Donegan or some of them? He had no recollection.
Mm.
This thing is the greatest carry-on of all times. I can't remember
this.
I can't remember that. So if it was that important, wouldn't she have acted on it? I would think, as an ordinary Joe Soap down in Tipperary.
Well, you'd imagine if anybody saw the name McCabe, Maurice McCabe, on an email, it would red flag to you, because it was so important, particularly at the time, you know?
Oh, yeah. But you see, friend, tis like everything else. There'll be a tribunal set up now. There'll be a steward's inquiry. There'll be this, there'll be that. And the most important thing, from what we're told, that faces this country in 2018 years is this Brexit.
Mm.
And we don't seem to be doing one thing about it. Tis this, should they resign or whatever else, I haven't a bull's notion. They're talking about building a new hospital. They can't even decide, is it north, south? North side or south side, and I know one thing, that we're living down the south side, that they'll put it above in the north side. You see, they'll do everything, friend, and seemingly the latest thing is they don't actually know who'll own it. Is it the Sisters of Mercy, the Sisters of Charity, or is it the government or whatever else? But I've no doubt that if you had it built, and the first DSB bill was sent to be paid fairly rapid then, if they're going to be cut off.
I guess it would be. Anyway, Colin, you don't think there's going to be an election anyway, Johnny, no?
No, friend, and I hope to God there's not, because I'll tell you one thing. Whatever about me looking forward to Santa Claus, and I'm looking forward to him, I'm certainly not looking forward to an election. But, friend, I'm in I'm in the silver mine, strictly come dancing on the 20th of January in the Abbey Court, I think, in Nina.
Right.
And that's if I survive the turmoil of the...
And are you going to be dancing?
Well, I'm not. I'm a judge, but okay. I told them to ring me, but don't send me a bloody email.
I mightn't read it.
I said, this man of 63, he's proud to say that he can barely plug in a bloody kettle. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm not ashamed either, friend, to say those things. But hopefully, friend, we won't. Look, listen to me. This is, I don't know what they're doing. The Dáil was free at the weekend, and they still had to go off to a hotel to have a big conference and a meeting, and one crowd running one way, and another crowd running another way, and they even missing each other running over and back.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, the whole thing is a bloody...
And the Taoiseach is heading to Cork today to meet with Micheál Martin, so he's flying down the country to do that, so...
Oh, Christ, man, stop. Listen, I'm after seeing a fella passing by. I'm down in Cork. I'm after seeing a fella passing by, and he's something sticking out of the cheeks of his backside, and I think to the bloody email. I don't know.
Johnny Luby, look after yourself. It's always a pleasure. That is the voice of Johnny Luby there, and his take on all things political, and indeed lots of other stuff as well. 1800 938 007. Lots of text coming in to say how much you're enjoying Johnny this morning. 083 311 3311. Do give me a full name and an address though, so that we can put you into the draw for that €50 voucher for Pamela Scott's in Nina. Hopefully Johnny won't win it.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Dermot O'Mara from Ross Gray recently completed his professional Master of Education in Primary Education with the Hibernia College while living at home. And let's find out a bit more about that now, because Dermot joins me online. Good morning to you, Dermot.
Morning, how's it going?
It's very well indeed. Tell me about you. Tell me, before you decided to teach, you had a rather colourful career as a professional ballet dancer.
That's right. Well, before that, I actually did a degree in genetics in UCC. And then after that, I was living in Dublin. And I started taking dance classes with a friend of mine. And things escalated very quickly. And a very short time later, I found myself in London in Central School of Ballet in full-time ballet training, and then I embarked on a dance career.
And tell me about that, because it's reputed to be extremely difficult and demanding. Is it all of that?
I mean, I'm not going to say no. It is very demanding. I mean, I'd be a little bit cagey about some of the portrayals of ballet training, in particular in films and in literature.
Yes.
But the teachers are extremely demanding, and it's physically and emotionally exhausting. Long days and lots of quite harsh feedback.
Do you mean in terms of reviewing your performances and your work?
Well, your work. So your main training is your daily class. So that used to begin every morning at 8:30, and it would be a two-hour class. Very physically rigorous, and the feedback was very immediate. And because the focus was really on perfecting everything,
mm-hmm.
they really, instead of, they didn't try and kind of gloss over something and you know, finesse a correction, they would really just, you know, give you the information you needed, warts and all, and sometimes the delivery was a little bit blunt.
So your class was 2 hours, but I presume that your rehearsal time then and your practice time must have been for hours and hours, was it?
Oh yeah. So your daily ballet class usually lasts between an hour and a half and 2 hours, but then the rest of the day we would have pas de deux, which is your partner work, repertoire, contemporary dance, jazz dance. You'd have music sometimes, you'd have drama, Pilates, and then you'd have rehearsals as well, depending on what time of the year it was. So if it was coming up to a show, we would rehearse probably until 6 or 7 every evening, having started at 8:30 that morning. So
it's incredible. And obviously, though, you were earning a living at dance, were you?
Yeah, well, after I finished my training, I went out into the big bad world, and I worked with companies in London and in Dublin, and I toured for a good few years. And it's extremely rewarding work. It's fantastic, you know, being able to go on stage and work with other dancers and amazing music. So it does pay off.
What made you decide then to stop this and become a primary teacher?
Teaching was something I was always interested in, and I wasn't really sure what for form of teaching I was, you know, I was kind of in my future. I started ballet teaching kind of between contracts, and I really enjoyed it. And I found that it was something that came quite easily to me. So I moved back here, back to Ireland in 2014, and I kind of decided it was time to begin to explore the next, you know, phase of my life. And because, you know, dancing is something that you can't do forever. So I decided I'd look into a few things, and then I thought that primary teaching was the avenue that was more suitable for my skills.
And you took a very interesting route to that, because you decided to study at home with the Hibernia, a college way of studying. How did you find that?
I actually really enjoyed the course. It's a tough course. There's a lot of material in it. You know, you've got a lot of assignments and you've got your placement. But because most of the content is online, you really have to be disciplined in, you know, making sure that you engage with all the material and the lectures and all the readings, because there's nobody looking over your shoulder and there's nobody reminding you that you need to study. So you need to be very self-motivated.
I presume all of your discipline from dance, though, would have paid off where something like that is concerned.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. But that, you know, I kind of carried over that idea of your daily training, your daily class, and that kind of, I guess I substituted that with study.
It's interesting, because this is an option for so many students out there to do it if they have that kind of dedication to the work.
Yeah, oh no, it definitely is, yeah. And I know lots of people who have gone on to do this course later on in their life. You know, I don't think I would have had the discipline to do it when I was 18 or even 21.
When you're applying for a job, Dermot, is it taken as seriously as somebody who might have come out of Mary Eye or St. Pat's or whatever?
Oh, definitely, because I think people that have done the Hibernia course, they're perceived as being very, very self-motivated and very disciplined.
Yeah.
Because we had to find our own schools. So we're engaging in that process of contacting schools, talking to principals, which is an element that isn't as much part of other courses where the placements would be organised for them.
And in your case, you've been lucky enough to have a job.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the idea of a permanent job is slightly different than it was.
Yes.
You know, you have to kind of put in the years now before you get your permanent contract. But I'm in, I'm in a school now full-time, teaching fourth class, and
but really it's a long way from Tipperary, as they say.
It definitely is. I try to get home as much as I can.
And where are you?
I'm in Buncrana in County Donegal.
Right, so that is a long way.
Yeah.
And are you enjoying it?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Very good.
It's very rewarding, and you know, it's really, there's so much variety in it. I mean, every day is just completely different. You never know what the day is going to throw at you.
Of course, so everybody talks about your long holidays and your early finishing time, but I mean, that's not all that true, as I know from my own family. There's a lot of work, there's a lot of after-school work involved, a lot of inspection. It can be demanding too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, a lot more than I was led to believe.
Yeah.
Particularly with work after school.
Yeah.
You know, when you're trying to sort out resources, you know, correct all the work, keep up with your plans and your paperwork, your assessments, there really is, you know, there's hours of work every evening involved if you want to keep on top of everything.
Would you stay with the ballet to some degree in that? Would you teach a little, or how will that work for you?
Yeah, I'm currently teaching for a ballet school called Zona Dance Company in Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach a couple of times a week for them. It's run by a fantastic lady called Jessica Peoples. And she's, you know, I think there's about 300 kids involved in that. And we have a production of The Nutcracker coming up very shortly, 2 weeks, I think.
Very good. By the way, just before I let you go, how is ballet going in Ireland? Because I remember from my day, all I remember was Joan Denise Moriarty or my friend Roy Galvin, but very few names on the ballet scene, really.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a real pity that most dancers will go abroad to complete their training like I did. But most of them will actually stay abroad. You know, we've amazing dancers like Melissa Hamilton, Zoe Ash Brown, Tracy Jones, Chris Furlong, and they're all working in companies overseas.
Mm. Some of them in Russian companies, in fact.
Yeah, and I mean, there's not. It's because there's not the there isn't full time employment in Ireland.
Yes,
I mean, you know, the Arts Council is fantastic, and they do support several dance companies in Ireland, but. If you're going to be offered, we'll say, a job with a pension in Germany, or you can work freelance in Ireland and have to, there'll be times of the year when you would really have to struggle with work. It's kind of an easy option to stay abroad.
It's very interesting. Well, listen, we're delighted with all your success, Diarmaid, and I'm sure that the people of Ross Gray are delighted with you as well. So congratulations to you. I hope you'll check back in with us when you're down closer to home at some point.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to.
All right. Garmaa good, Diarmaid. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Contact to say she enjoys listening to your show. Fran, MB Foot in McDonough Avenue in Clochjordan also enjoys the show and would like to go into the draw for that lovely prize from Pamela Scott, and that's done. Michael Lochnan thinks the reference to the musical suggestion for me is a great idea for all bands. It's a great hobby to have. And then another got in contact to say that band's looking for new members and they should take on Alan Kelly. He's brilliant at blowing his own trumpet. His words, not mine.
All right, okay. Michael Lochnan there, of course, from the lovely Silver Band in 30. You see, lots of people want you to get involved.
No, he's talking generally how music is a great hobby.
No, I think we should throw the gauntlet down and say.
I have no, what's coordination, that's it.
Ah, do you hear this? No, thanks very much indeed, Trudy. That's Trudy having a look at what's making it into us on text today. Of course, that Tip FM toy appeal is up and running and doing extremely well too. It's in association with St. Vincent de Paul. It's our inaugural Christmas toy appeal, and you'll be doing something very, very good for the children of Tipperary coming up to Christmas. Now, let me give you a few of the outlets where you can donate a brand new toy. In Cashel, it's Morrissey's Super Value. In Nina, it's O'Connor's, Kenyon Street Market. And in Holy Cross, at the lovely Padre Pio Nursing Home in Holy Cross. You can drop your brand new toys off there for the Tip FM Toy Appeal in association with the wonderful St. Vincent de Paul.